Okay, now maybe we'll start from the last pages. Okay, last time we are talking about the Guru Yoga, so we'll start from the Guru Devotion. So now here you can see that generally, you know, as we talked before about the Mahayana Guru. Now the second thing is that here, in the every of the Buddhism practice, you have to combine with the two things. There's a physically you need a two things, that one thing mentally how to practice, one the physically what rule you have to follow. So yeah, as I told you, so you can see that we are having now we can see that in the Buddhism mentally practice and the physically practice, two things we have to emphasize. So that's why physically you need, as you can see that the physically you need the two things on the emphasis, the mental practice and the physical practice. Mentally, there's a one thing how to do a practice. Physically, you need something of the rules to improve your practice. So that's why it mentioned in the, I think it's mentioned here. So after the Guru, I mean the after the Guru Yoga practice, after the Guru Devotion practice, here it mentioned that the physically for the practitioner should follow the four rules of the physically. Follow the four rules of the physical practice. So physically four rules is that the physically four rules is number one is physically that the controlling the your of the senses of the organ, physically control. Physically controlling the all the senses of the senses, physically controlling the physical action, okay? Physical action. I will clarify on this point. Whenever we generate the anger, what will we do? Physically we will shout, physically we will hit. So being the physically Buddhism practitioner, first you have to try to control the physical action. Whenever you generate the anger, don't say anything. Physically, you don't do anything. You can control. You try to control your physical action. Saying a bad word to the others. Hitting for the others. Like that, you have to control. That is the first physical practice. Controlling the physical action. Whenever you generated the negative action. Whenever you generated the negative thoughts. We cannot control all the negative thoughts right now. First step is we have to try to control the physical action. Whenever you generate the anger, physically you have to control. Physically not saying the bad things, not hitting the others. That's why in the Bodhisattva Avatara Charya, it said that whenever you generate the negative thoughts, you should remain like a tree. Not to move, not to say anything, just remain like a tree. Yeah. So the second thing, you know, the second thing is what you have to do. Second thing is that the physically now, whenever your negative thoughts comes into your mind regarding about your enemy or the person who dislike, whom you dislike, what will you do? Then you will say so many negative things of the others verbally. You will start to talk the negative things of the others, because after you generated the angers or the dislike to the others. So whenever you generate the dislike to the others, physically don't do anything, don't say anything. That's you have to control. Second thing is the second rule is that what you have to do, you have to do with awareness. Whenever you're saying the any words, first you have to think and what you have should be aware that what you are doing. Sometimes you will say the so many things that without your awareness. So the awareness should be there. So that is the second physical rule of the every practitioner. So this is the very aware should be there. Awareness should be what you should be. You should be very aware that what you are doing. Even when you talk, you should be aware that what you are talking. Even whatever action you are doing, you should aware that what you are doing. When you are aware of the what you are doing and what you are saying, then you can control it. Once you are not aware about the what you are doing and what you are talking, you cannot control it at all. That's why awareness should be there. So that there is a second rule. Now the third rule is regarding about the limited food, taking the limited food. Limited food. Food should be, limit of the food should be there very rightly. We should not eat too much, we should not eat too less. We should be the very right limited food. So this is quite complicated. First, I will tell you the whole story, how it's complicated. Okay. Generally, for me, I have my personal rule, so many personal rules, myself, beyond of the monk's rule. Okay, monk's rule, what I have to follow, that's not personal rule. So many others, the personal rules of myself. So foot issue is a very complicated for me. I think you, most of you knows that I'm not using the personal, I mean the personal goods, which goes beyond the $20. I mean, it's a, in the Indian rupees, I calculate 1,000, sometimes it's go above 20, or sometimes it comes to the 15, the exchange rate. So it comes ups and down. So I followed that rule so many years now. So for the personal, I mean, the gadget, like wearing the watch, like a mobile, or the personal clothes, and whatever, it's, I'm not wearing this more than the $15. Now it's a 1,000 Indian rupees. It comes sometimes at 15 or sometimes at $20. So I'm not using it more than that. So many years I followed that. There's nothing problem with it. But the foot issue, one very complicated. Few years back, it's incident happened. Few years back, it, I think 3 or 4 years back. I think it's a 3 years or two, three or four years back. One occasion, I was invited for the dinner. So they just served me the food. I ate quite a lot. I thought that's enough to dinner. So they told me it's just appetizer. Lots of the varieties. So I thought it was food. They told me later it's just appetizer. They told me it's just like appetizer. Appetizer is not real, just what you ate before the food. Then later on, they served me quite a variety of the food second time. So I thought that they, again I added. So the second time, whatever, then the later on, then the dinner they served on the third time. At that time they're serving the lot of the varieties. I cannot eat at all. So later on that I'm coming back from that dinner, after the finishing the dinner, one question comes into my mind that really, I started to think too much. Really, one person like me, one person, really should have like these of the variety food. Shall I have to eat like such a variety of the food? Really, in the my body, necessity, is there necessary like eating all these variety foods? This question comes into my mind. So coming into my mind, I decided on that now I will eat only the 6 different foods now. I thought to follow that rule. So few days I followed that rule. On the one occasion when I was serving the food, I will eat the only 6. Not more than 6. So that's why now that it's making the one thing is that now the few days it went quite well. Then again the one confusing came in on that issue. While I'm having the breakfast, usually in the bread, so when we put the jam and the butter all together, so I'm just thinking whether I should count the butter and the jam, 2 things or 1 thing. Okay, now it's a complicated game. If I count it as 2 things, then even when I drink the tea, in India, when we drink the tea, we will put the water and the milk. I should count the two things. If I have to count the only the 1 thing, then I can eat the, again the variety of the food, 20 or the 10 variety of food, put in the one plate and the mix up and I can eat. So that make a confusion and the, later on, I can't follow the my rule, what I mentioned before, what I kept. Only that rule happened for the 3 days. Then I got confused with this issue. So this just a foot issue is a really complicated. So that's why the Buddha have not mentioned about the how much food we can take and how much we cannot take. What should we take? He have not mentioned about. Only he told us that the food should be not too much, not too little. Right? That is the third. Okay, now that's why now that this is the third, the physical rule. Okay, now the whatever the food, you have to not to eat over food, also not even if you look from the health point of view, I think that's very important. In the monastery there is one very small monk, he eats a lot, very small monk, he eats a lot. So I told him not to eat too much. I told him to not to eat after you fill your stomach. When your stomach is full, then I ask him not to eat. So that's why he just told me the one thing, that small monk. He told me that the how will he know when his stomach is full. So if you look at the humans, I mean, the most difficult thing is to control is the human tongue. That's a very difficult to control. So that's why it's a every because when it's very difficult to control the speech, very difficult to control the food. So that's why that physical group. Okay. Now there is a fourth physical rule, okay? Fourth physical rule is not to have the oversleep. Oversleep. To this practitioner or whatever, not to have the oversleep. So maybe I will talk about this because I'm over, so it's not very right to talk about this. Because I oversleep, so I oversleep and it is not very suitable if I tell to not to have the oversleep because I don't follow that fourth rule. I myself oversleep and so I will not tell you to not to have the oversleep, okay? That is not very suitable. There's one master and in the masters, there's one master in the master place, one mother and one child came to the master's place. So when the mother and the child came to the master place, mother asked the master to teach for the child not to eat too much of the sweet. He asked the master to give the advice to the kid or child not to eat too much of the sweet. So master asked the mother to bring the child after 1 month. Mother just took her son after 1 month to the master place, and again master told her mother to bring her son after 1 month. So after 1 month, again the after 1 month master the mother and the child came to the master place. Again the master asked the mother to bring her child after the 1 month again. Then after 3 months. The mother came to the master place. After that, after 1 month, mother and the child came to the master place. Then master gave the advice to the child and not to eat the sweet. So what happened is that then mother asked the master that why you don't give you can give this advice the 3 months back. Why you ask me come to after 1 month, after 1 month, after 1 month? So it took 3 months. So then the master told the mother that before 3 months, I was also eating a sweet. So I tried to stop. I could not stop in the 1 month. Again, the next month, I tried to stop. I could not stop. After the 3 months, now I succeed to stop the eating the sweet. So that's why I asked you to come after the 1 month, 1 month. Before, I was also eating a sweet. I could not stop it. So that's why I asked you to come after 1 month. Finally, now I succeed to stop eating. So now I'm telling this kid to not to eat sweet. So same thing like that. That same thing like that. When I stop to having the oversleep, then only I will tell you not to have the oversleep. Up till that, I won't tell you anything about this. Okay, fourth rule. Okay. Okay, so up till that, then now, yeah, up till that days, I won't talk about the fourth rule. Okay, that's a fourth rule. Okay, about the physically, the fourth rule. So now here you can see. Now, generally, I think we have talked about the six preliminary the practices, isn't it? If we have finished it, isn't it? So now generally, whenever you start to do the any mental practice, like a six preliminary practice of. What you have the two think that the one first you have to make the plan of the every practice. Number one, I will practice this. Number two, I will practice this. You have to make the plan of the every practices before doing any mental practice, okay? So that's why everything is just like that. For the when we start the mental practice or mental meditation, the word the meditation it means that to make the mind under the control. Every the purpose of the meditation, purpose of the mental practice, you have to understand that to make the mind under of the your control. That is the main purpose of the meditation. Right now, we are not controlling our mind. Our mind is controlling us. From the practice of the practice of the meditation, through that we have to become the master of the our mind. Okay, right now the mind become the master of the us. There is one story of at the Buddha's time. There is one king at the Buddha's time. At the one time, the king there, he just, someone gave him the present of the elephant. India, there are a lot of the elephants. So some other kingdom have gave the one good elephant to the one king. So king asked the one of the his general to tame that elephant. Very rightly. So after the taming, after the 6 months, then general came to the kings and told that he already tamed the elephant. So he asked the king, now he can ride the elephant.
I didn't see elephant in the Vietnam. Nepal and India, the elephant is very common. So that's why now the general came to the kings and asked the king that told him that he tamed the elephant. He told the king, now king can ride that elephant. Then the general and the king ride on the elephant and they just went out in the forest. While in the roaming in the forest, suddenly the way of the animal behavior is totally changed. The animal started to run its own way so that the general could not control the elephant. So the general told that now we have to catch the branches of the tree. Now we have to save ourselves. Now animal is not obeying my orders. Then king and the general just saved their lives catching the branches, because animal is running like a mad inside the forest. So they just pushed the branch of the tree and they just saved themselves. And they get back to the palace. Then king shouted at the general and told that you told me that you have tamed the elephant. You have the elephant, you control the elephant properly. But how it comes? Now that you cannot control the elephant. You have not trained the elephant properly. Then king shouted at the general. Then the general told the king that I can only control the physical of the elephant, not the mind. And the king told them, then who can control the mind? Then the general told them, only the Buddha can control the mind. So then the king went to the Buddha's place. Then king will ask the Buddha that who can control their mind? King will ask that, he's like, who can control my mind? To the king. King will ask this question to the Buddha. Who can control my mind? That maybe I will ask this question to you. But the king asked this question to the Buddha. Who can control your mind? When the king asked the Buddha that who can control his mind, Buddha will tell that you can. You can control your mind. Only you can control your mind. Buddha told him that only you can control your mind. I can only show you the path how to control your mind. Yeah. So that's why the meditation or mental practice, it only means the purpose of the meditation. Purpose of the mental practice is to control our own mind. Right now we cannot control the 100%. Maybe 10%, 20%, 30%. Once you can control your mind 100%, then maybe you are the Buddhahood. Right now, our mind is like a crazy monkey. So right now, we cannot control the 100%. We can control the 10%, 20%. Slowly, slowly, we have to improve it. This is from my own experience, really a lot of the changes of controlling my mind, comparing to the many years back. So through my experience, still I'm not 100%. I cannot control the mind. Still, when we are able to control the 100%, then we are not very far from Buddhahood. So yeah, that now that you have to understand the meditation, the terms, meditation word, It's that the meditation, real, the purpose of the meditation is that to teach the mind to control, to us to controlling the our mind, to main purpose of that. To control the mind, now the first step what we have to do is that, as I told you, before you starting the any of the practice, first you have, should have the plan that I will practice this, this, this. You have to make it very systematic. There is one saying, when the mad person knows that he is a mad, then he is a very near to Buddhahood. So yeah, something like that. So our mind is something like that. The way minds jumps from one to the another, one to another, but still we are not knowing the how the mind works. So average, if you look at the mind, if one fix on the one point, one single second, it will jump from one for the other, one for the other, like a really the crazy monkey. So yeah, so that's why so you can see that now, if you, when you start with the practice of the mental practice of the, like a merit field, first what we do, the visualization of the merit field, then for the prayer, then the dissolving the merit field. Okay, example, I'm just giving the example, three steps. Before the starting practice, you should make it the very systematic. You have to think that first I will visualize the merit field, then I will start the prayer, then I will dissolve the merit field. These three make as a system, okay? You have to make it that the systematic way. First, you have to think it that. Then, in the meantime, you have to think that I will do these three steps very rightly, very properly. You have to determine that. You should have a very strong determination. So that's why when you think the very properly, that the first, that the whenever you do the practices, first you have to make the plan of the practice. First I will visualize the merit field, then I will pray, then I will dissolve the merit field. They are the three steps, no? So first you have to think that these all steps, then you have to think very strongly that I will do these three steps very properly. Just an example, okay? That you have to make it a plan before doing the practice, okay? Yeah, that's what you have to do. Now the second thing is that after that what you have to do is that is the one thing. Then the last, actually now we, our topics are on the guru devotion, on the relying on the teacher. So at this time when you're the practicing, first you have to think the all the qualities of the your guru, qualities of the your guru. Okay, qualities of the guru, and also that you have to think the very strongly or to generate to try the strong faith or devotions. This on this point, just in the merit field or whatever, faith and devotions, to practice that. Faith and devotion is something like that. Whenever we feel the desperate situation, whenever difficult situation, our mind need for something to the trust or something to the faith. So that's why whenever you have someone to the faith or someone to the prayer, like a merit field, whenever at the desperate situation, you will have some of the psychological support. So as I told you before, few times, when you are generating the faith or the devotion to the master, analysis is a very important. Analyzing the master or the right or wrong, that's very important. Whose master you can see, that's analyzing is very important. When you are generating the faith or devotion to the merit field, then it's a beyond of the analysis. You don't have to do the analysis. How can you do the analysis of the Avalokiteshvara? It's a beyond of our reach. Master you can see, so you have to do the analysis. Human nature is a very strange that we won't believe that what we can see, we will believe that what we can't see. That's a very strange of the human nature. Yeah, so human nature is something like that. So that way, if we won't believe that what we can see, we will believe that what we can't see. So that's why for the guru, it is analysis is very important. For the guru, what you can see. So this analysis is very important. So that's why you can see in the Buddha's Heart Sutra, Shariputra asked so many questions to the Buddha. Ask a question. Whatever the Buddha say, he will raise the question. All the Buddha students, you can see a lot of the debates with the Buddha. They have never told that, oh, you are Buddha, whatever you say to write. No one have told that. One really I admire about the Buddha's quality is that whenever they ask so many questions, Buddha never told that to his student, you are asking the too much question. He never told, oh, now I'm getting a headache of this question. He never told that. That I really liked. When I was young, I used to ask so many questions to my teacher. Sometimes my teacher would laugh really a lot because sometimes I ask so many silly questions, but he can't stop the laughing sometimes when I...
question, one question, another question, question to question, question to question. I asked so many questions. That's really the one good point. Really the one, if it's a true master, then he should keep the answering the all the question, like what the Buddha did. When the master feels very uneasy with so many questions, it means that he has no answer for this own question, your questions. Yeah, so that's why this is, that's a, so that's why in the Guru devotion point, so that's analysis is also important. So the merit field, when you are the practice of merit field, it's a beyond of the analysis. When you look at the Avalokiteshvara, or this is a beyond of the analysis, then you don't need analysis. Just generate the faith, devotion. For the Guru, Master, you can see, do analysis. When you find that it's right, then you generate the devotion and the faith. Okay, now this is point. So, now this is the point. So, I think we have finished the talking about the six preliminary practices, isn't it? My last one. Yeah, so these times now in the six preliminary practices, so what generally that these practices you can do, so before the doing the six preliminary practices, you should keep in your mind that what is the first, second, third and fourth, everything, you should make it a very system, very right, I mean, know the step by step, then you have to start, okay? What is the first thing we have to do? First is, what is the first? Okay. So first is the cleaning the your rooms, okay? Cleaning your rooms properly, okay? That is the first step, okay? Six preliminary practice, the first step is the cleaning the your room properly. Again, you will think that what's special in this cleaning the your room? You will feel that you are cleaning your room all the time. So that's why when the Buddhist practitioners, whenever I always say that the Buddhist practitioner, if you want to become the real Buddhist practitioner, you don't have to do the different things. Only what you do is to do very differently. Real the Buddhist practitioner don't have to do the different things. Real Buddhist practitioner, what they do, whatever they do, it very differently. That's important. Buddhist practitioner don't have to do the different things. Buddhist practitioner have to do the things differently. So cleaning the your room is the first. When you clean the your room, what you have to think is that you are not cleaning the ordinary dust. You have to think that you are cleaning the dust of your own mind. Dust of your mind as a negative affliction, hatred, attachment, and the ignorance. So this is the first step that what you have to do is the depth of when you have to do the cleaning the your room, okay? Whenever you clean the your room, you have to think that you are cleaning the your own the negative thoughts, number one. Number two is whenever you're cleaning the your room, you have to think that your negative points of yourself, and you have to think that now you are cleaning that. If you have to try to find it out, your own negative points. Whenever you're cleaning your homes, you have to thinking that you are just cleaning all your negative points. If you can't find your negative points, I will tell you the one easy thing. Ask your husband or wife. I think then you will find more than the 3, 5, 10 maybe. One occasion, I think it's in the one of the hospital. I mean the doctors. I'm just giving the teachings. I think in one hospital, yeah. So that's why I just asked them to practice, try to find it out the 5 negative points of the self, yourself. Yeah. So there's one lady. So she told me that she could not. At that time, I was giving a teaching in the hospital with the doctors. So there's one. I asked them to find the 5 negative points of the self. So this one lady told me that she could not find the 5 negative points. Then she told me she can ask anyone. Yeah, I told him that you can ask anyone. Then she went to ask her husband about her negative points. So she told me that her husband told her the 2 negative points of herself. And she told me that she never accepted the husband's point, whatever the husband says. So that's why our ego always says that we are the right. Ego always says that. In reality, we make so many mistakes. We are making the mistakes because we are not improved. We are not improved because we are not realizing our negative points. So we are not realizing our negative points, we cannot correct our negative points. Once we cannot correct our negative points, we cannot improve. Once we cannot improve, we will make the mistake again and again. So that's why what we have to do. That's why what we have to do is that when we have to improve the ourselves, whenever you're cleaning the, your house, you have to think that the, you're cleaning the, not only this, only the dust, you are the negative thoughts, also the, your mistake points, or you are the negative points of the yourself. All you are cleaning, okay? So when you cannot see the yourself, and the find it out of your negative, you cannot see your, as I told you before, ask your wife and husband. This is the first step, okay? That what you have to do is that then you have to arrange, after cleaning the, your room, then you have to arrange the your altar properly. Arrange the altar properly means that you have to keep the photo or the whatever, the Buddha or the Avalokiteshvara or a photo. So first thing. Now the second is, the second preliminary practice is that then it, you, it will start from the offering. You have to arrange the offering properly. You can arrange the offering like a water. Best offering is the water. So that's why so offering is the best offering is the water offering. Yeah, second step, there's offering. Whenever you're offering, then what you can do is that second step, what you have to do is the offering. This is the most important thing, is the offering. When you do the offering, what you have to do is offering the water offering, the whatever the offering. Okay, that is the what we call the best offering, because the water, when you offer the water, there are the few of the meanings of the offering of the water. Generally, water offering is something like that. Whenever you offer the water, whenever you offer the water, so what will happen is that the, when you offer the water, its water is very clear. So it is just simple of the, your mind may become the clear. Yeah, that's a very important. So one other thing is that, that when you are the offering the water, it means that the water can offer, anyone can offer the water. That's not a big deal. I think in the Nepal, maybe the water is quite difficult sometimes to offer the water. There are quite a lot of the water shortage. Yeah, so last 1 or 2 years back, I have so seen that in Nepal, they're having the lots of the, since the water shortage in Nepal. Yeah, anyway, so that's why generally, so it's the water offering is like that, yeah. Okay, so maybe, yeah, so that is now the second point, isn't it? Second point is we have to offer for the water, isn't it? And then the water or whatever, the second point offering, okay? Most important thing is the mental offering. Second preliminary practice is the offering, okay? Offering, offering, okay? Or to arrange the offering properly, okay? Then the, so offering, there will be the, generally there are the few offerings. So here the most important thing is the mental offering, okay? You can just visualize the thousands of the flowers or the millions of the flower, and then you have to start to, doing the offerings. So generally there will be the three offering: inner offering, external offering, secret offering. So can you just, okay, now the inner offering is just like the visualizing and the offering the flowers to the Buddha. So that is the inner offering. External offering is what we are the offering, okay? Water and whatever that we are, external offering, okay? The secret offering is a practicing the emptiness. That is the secret offering. There will be three offerings. So the second is arranging the offering. It's a properly the arranging the problem, that is the second preliminary practices, okay? Arranging means that you can arrange the water bowl or butter lamp or the incense, that is the second. You have to arrange it properly, the second preliminary. So once you do have no time for the arranging that, just mentally you can start offering, okay? That is the second preliminary practice, okay? Okay, now today I will stop here.